The ploy was a brilliant one. Apparently, Strathmore had been watching only one side of a tennis match. Since the ball kept coming back, he assumed there was someone on the other side of the net. But Tancado had been playing against a wall.
He had been proclaiming the virtues of Digital Fortress in email he'd sent to himself. He had written letters, sent them to an anonymous remailer, and a few hours later, the remailer had sent them right back to him. Now Susan realized it was all so obvious. Tancado had wanted the commander to snoop him. He'd wanted him to read the email. Ensai Tancado had created an imaginary insurance policy without ever having to trust another soul with his passkey. Of course, to make the whole farce seem authentic, Tancado had used a secret account. Just secret enough to allay any suspicions that the whole thing was a setup. Tancado was his own partner. North Dakota did not exist. Ensai Tancado was a one-man show. A one-man show. A terrifying thought gripped Susan. Tancado could have used his fake correspondence to convince Strathmore of just about anything. She remembered her first reaction when Strathmore told her about the unbreakable algorithm. She'd sworn it was impossible. The unsettling potential of the situation settled hard in Susan's stomach. What proof did they actually have that Tancado had really created Digital Fortress? Only a lot of hype in his email. And, of course, translator. The computer had been locked in an endless loop for almost 20 hours. Susan knew, however, that there were other programs that could keep translator busy that long, programs far easier to create than an unbreakable algorithm. Viruses. The chill swept across her body. But how could a virus get into translator? Like a voice from the grave, Phil Chartruckian gave the answer. Strathmore bypassed Gauntlet. In a sickening revelation, Susan grasped the truth. Strathmore had downloaded Tancado's Digital Fortress file and tried to send it into translator to break it. But Gauntlet had rejected the file because it contained dangerous mutation strings. Normally, Strathmore would have been concerned, but he had seen Tancado's email. Mutation strings are the trick. Convinced Digital Fortress was safe to load, Strathmore bypassed Gauntlet's filters and sent the file into translator. Susan could barely speak. "There is no Digital Fortress," she choked as the sirens blared on. Slowly, weakly, she leaned against her terminal. Tancado had gone fishing for fools, and the NSA had taken the bait. Then from upstairs came a long cry of anguish. It was Strathmore. Chapter 86. Trevor Strathmore was hunched at his desk when Susan arrived, breathless, at his door. His head was down, his sweaty head glistening in the light of his monitor. The horns on the sublevels blared. Susan raced over to his desk. "Commander?" Strathmore didn't move. "Commander, we've got to shut down translator. We've got a—" "He got us," Strathmore said without looking up. "Tancado fooled us all." She could tell by the tone of his voice he understood. All of Tancado's hype about the unbreakable algorithm, auctioning off the passkey, it was all an act, a charade. Tancado had tricked the NSA into snooping his mail, tricked them into believing he had a partner, and tricked them into downloading a very dangerous file. "The mutation strings," Strathmore faltered. "I know." The commander looked up slowly. "The file I downloaded off the internet. It was a—" Susan tried to stay calm. All the pieces in the game had shifted. There had never been any unbreakable algorithm. Never any Digital Fortress. The file Tancado had posted on the internet was an encrypted virus, probably sealed with some generic mass-market encryption algorithm, strong enough to keep everyone out of harm's way. Everyone except the NSA. Translator had cracked the protective seal and released the virus. "The mutation strings," the commander croaked. "Tankado said they were just part of the algorithm." Strathmore collapsed back onto his desk. Susan understood the commander's pain. He had been completely taken in. Tankado had never intended to let any computer company buy his algorithm. There was no algorithm. The whole thing was a charade. Digital Fortress was a ghost, a farce, a piece of bait created to tempt the NSA. Every move Strathmore had made, Tankado had been behind the scenes, pulling the strings. "I bypassed Gauntlet," the commander groaned. "You didn't know." Strathmore pounded his fist on his desk. "I should have known. His screen name, for Christ's sake. Endocoda, look at it." "What do you mean?" "He's laughing at us. It's a goddamn anagram." Susan puzzled a moment. "Endocoda is an anagram?" She pictured the letters and began reshuffling them in her mind. "Endocoda. Kadotan. Octodan. Tandoka." Her knees went weak. Strathmore was right. It was as plain as day. How could they have missed it? North Dakota wasn't a reference to the U.S. state at all. It was Tankado rubbing salt in the wound. He'd even sent the NSA a warning, a blatant clue that he himself was Endocoda. The letters spelled Tankado, but the best codebreakers in the world had missed it, just as he had planned. "Tankado was mocking us," Strathmore said. "You've got to abort Translator," Susan declared. Strathmore stared blankly at the wall. "Commander, shut it down! God only knows what's going on in there." "I tried," Strathmore whispered, sounding as faint as she'd ever heard him. "What do you mean you tried?" Strathmore rotated a screen toward her. His monitor had dimmed to a strange shade of maroon. At the bottom, the dialogue box showed numerous attempts to shut down Translator. They were all followed by the same response. "Sorry, unable to abort. Sorry, unable to abort. Sorry, unable to abort." Susan felt a chill. "Unable to abort? But why?" She feared she already knew the answer. "So this is Tankado's revenge? Destroying Translator?" For years, Ensai Tankado had wanted the world to know about Translator, but no one had believed him. So he'd decided to destroy the great beast himself. He'd fought to the death for what he believed, the individual's right to privacy. Downstairs, the sirens blared. "We've got to kill all power," Susan demanded. "Now!" Susan knew that if they hurried, they could save the great parallel processing machine. Every computer in the world, from Radio Shack PCs to NASA's satellite control systems, had a built-in failsafe for situations like this. It wasn't a glamorous fix, but it always worked. It was known as pulling the plug. By shutting off the remaining power to Crypto, they could force Translator to shut down. They could remove the virus later. It would be a simple matter of reformatting Translator's hard drives. Reformatting would completely erase the computer's memory. Data, programming, virus, everything. In most cases, reformatting resulted in the loss of thousands of files, sometimes years of work. But Translator was different. It could be reformatted with virtually no loss at all. Parallel processing machines were designed to think, not to remember. Nothing was actually stored inside Translator. Once it broke a code, it sent the results to the NSA's main databank in order to... Susan froze. In a stark instant of realization, she brought her hand to her mouth and muffled a scream. "The main databank." Strathmore stared into the darkness, his voice disembodied. He'd apparently already made this realization. "Yes, Susan. The main databank." Susan nodded blankly. "Tankado used Translator to put a virus in our main databank." Strathmore motioned sickly to his monitor. Susan returned her gaze to the screen in front of her and looked beneath the dialogue box. Across the bottom of the screen were the words, "Tell the world about Translator. Only the truth will save you now." Susan felt cold. The nation's most classified information was stored at the NSA. Military communication protocols, SIGINT confirmation codes, identities of foreign spies, blueprints for advanced weaponry, digitized documents, trade agreements. The list was unending. "Tankado wouldn't dare," she declared. "Corrupting a country's classified records?" Susan couldn't believe that even Ensign Tankado would dare attack the NSA databank. She stared at his message. "Only the truth will save you now." "The truth?" she asked. "The truth about what?" Strathmore was breathing heavily. "Translator," he croaked. "The truth about Translator." Susan nodded. It made perfect sense. Tankado was forcing the NSA to tell the world about Translator. It was blackmail, after all. He was giving the NSA a choice. Either tell the world about Translator, or lose your databank. She stared in awe at the text before her. At the bottom of the screen, a single line blinked menacingly. "Enter passkey." Staring at the pulsating words, Susan understood. The virus, the passkey, Tankado's ring, the ingenious blackmail plot. The passkey had nothing to do with unlocking an algorithm. It was an antidote. The passkey stopped the virus. Susan had read a lot about viruses like this. Deadly programs that included a built-in cure. A secret key that could be used to deactivate them. Tankado never planned to destroy the NSA databank. He just wanted us to go public with Translator. Then he would give us the passkey, so we could stop the virus. It was now clear to Susan that Tankado's plan had gone terribly wrong. He had not planned on dying. He'd planned on sitting in a Spanish bar and listening to the CNN press conference about America's top-secret code-breaking computer. Then he'd planned on calling Strathmore, reading the passkey off the ring, and saving the databank in the nick of time. After a good laugh, he'd disappear into oblivion, an EFF hero. Susan pounded her fist on the desk. "We need that ring. It's the only passkey." She now understood. There was no North Dakota. No second passkey. Even if the NSA went public with Translator, Tankado was no longer around to save the day. Strathmore was silent. The situation was more serious than Susan had ever imagined. The most shocking thing of all was that Tankado had allowed it to go this far. He had obviously known what would happen if the NSA didn't get the ring. And yet, in his final seconds of his life, he'd given the ring away. He had deliberately tried to keep it from them. Then again, Susan realized, what could she expect Tankado to do? Save the ring for them, when he thought the NSA had killed him? Still, Susan couldn't believe that Tankado would have allowed this to happen. He was a pacifist. He didn't want to wreak destruction. All he wanted was to set the record straight. This was about Translator. This was about everyone's right to keep a secret. This was about letting the world know that the NSA was listening. Deleting the NSA's databank was an act of aggression Susan could not imagine Ensign Tankado committing. The sirens pulled her back to reality. Susan eyed the debilitated commander and knew what he was thinking. Not only were his plans for a backdoor and digital fortress shot, but his carelessness had put the NSA on the brink of what could turn out to be the worst security disaster in U.S. history. "Commander, this is not your fault," she insisted over the blare of the horns. "If Tankado hadn't died, we'd have bargaining power. We'd have options." But Commander Strathmore heard nothing. His life was over. He'd spent 30 years serving his country. This was supposed to be his moment of glory, his pièce de résistance, a back door in the world of encryption standard. But instead, he had sent a virus into the main databank of the National Security Agency. There was no way to stop it, not without killing power and erasing every last one of the billions of bytes of irretrievable data. Only the ring could save them, and if David hadn't found the ring by